I first arrived here, Peter's dream came up first in staff meetings with Brandon's quiet and gentle support. Soon after, Brandon started dreaming about Edgewater and things that had gone silent for quite a while, resurrecting a call that this church had years ago to offer grace and stewardship over a building that had lost so much, to see possibilities and hope once again in a place where quietness lied and yet busyness remained going on behind the doors. And then Sue came up with visions of hospitality, a hope that we could become connected again. And each and every one of these dreams were dots that connected to one another in ways that created a foundation from which we could start on. None of the dreams that I have heard are isolated or disconnected, disjointed, or unrealistic. And yet today, we gather without expectation, without strategic plan, but just to rest in the possibilities of what might be, knowing that there is an elevator to fix and there are bills to pay and there are priorities to make. And yet God asks us, are we still alive? And our answer in our imagining is yes, we are. And we hold the realities that are in our hands and we lift them up to God that they might be transformed into dreams, that we might once again hold hope in just the possibility of being together.
Today was why I'm here. I want everybody to feel welcome. And I was asked to share my dreams about hospitality. The Cambridge Dictionary defines hospitality as the friendly and generous reception of guests, visitors, or strangers to the act of being friendly. My favorite places to go are church and quilt shops, not in any particular order. And I have this story that came to mind as I was asked to do this, and I promise I did this before the elevator incident. A couple of weeks ago, on one of those first cold mornings, I was coming up the front stairway on Osceola, and the door was closed because the wind was blowing, and it was really dark and desolate up here. And I thought, if I was a stranger, this was my first time, not knowing what goes on in this hall, I might have turned around and gone home because no one was here. The second staircase is a staircase at a quilt shop in Hamilton, Missouri. There's 13 quilt shops there, and I've been to every one of them, maybe twice. And I opened the door to one of them my first visit, and there was a staircase. The staircase had 14 steps to the top of the shop. But on each staircase, on each rung, there was an emotional thing, like for a quilter, so that they would be encouraged to go to the top, and it was worth the effort to get to the top. Then I thought, I'll end my story here, and we'll talk about how to feel welcome in this church. But then I was sitting and writing this, and another staircase appeared in a text. It was after a particularly difficult morning, and so this staircase to I don't know where was full of affirmations and things like, you're welcome, you're perfect, you're all, you're enough, you're worthy. That's what I want you to feel when you come into this place. We don't have to paint a staircase that says these things. We just want people to know that these things happen here. And the only way these things happen is if there's someone standing at the top of the stairs saying, you're welcome. You're here. We have a place for you. I want you to think about showing love for one another and building our ideal of building a home where all belong. Hospitality is known as welcoming others. It's a genuine way to show love for others. So I want you to think about being the face at the top of the stairs, hosting coffee hour, being an usher, helping you start a call to care group. My dream is to have a hospitality 101 class, update the signage, name tags, ways to welcome and follow up with guests. Why pronouns class? Creating a welcoming presence inside and out. I hope you'll join me. Oops.
Hi, everyone. My name is Peter Sill, and you all know that. And that's really special to me. As far as dreams go, this place has really been a dream for me already. When I think back to being in college, when I was going through my period of not going to church for a long time, music was always this, was really my church. Music was my spirituality. Just going deep into this music and seeing this kind of language that just spoke to all these spiritual things inside me. You can see it in, you know, like something that me and William played. I think William might agree with this. It's just such a beautiful, special form of communication that it's like we're talking at the same time. It's like we get to talk with each other. And it's like, you know, it's something that's very difficult to do in regular language. There's something so transcendent and beautiful, and for me to be able to come here and share that and really have freedom to play the things that I want that move me spiritually is so amazing, right? And then also now, yes, to be able to use this as a home where we can teach, where we can provide access to people that wouldn't normally have access to music lessons. And I can share that thing that I have in me, that I can share that with, you know, the next generation, which is really important to me, that this place has become that, and hopefully will continue to grow, will continue to be a home for other people besides me to come in and share this and grow this spiritual gift. And this place has such a beautiful potential where it's located, the neighborhood that we have here, this tight-knit community that it's so easy to see when you walk through these streets and walk through these shops, to see everybody, how they come together. We can make that, you know, a home for this spiritual gift and this language of music, you know, with concerts. There's so much potential to have, you know, festivals here, weekend-long festivals where you go to a concert and then you can go to Zuri's, you can go to Fire on the Mountain, you can go to El Camino and get a drink, talk about what you saw, build more community, they can come back and have another, you know, have another concert. It's really the dream that I continue to live out and I want to see, you know, in these events, you know, the dream for me that I get to live out is just this freedom of spiritual expression that I get to share with you guys. And I hope to continue to just build and fill this place. Also, you know, it's a really special thing. I have to, as I look around, I see the musicians that we have in here. We have a real gift of musical talent to share here. And we'll continue to make that grow. We'll continue to make that work. So thanks.
My name is Brandon. I use he, him. I started working with kids during the summer of 2000 at a YMCA summer camp and then into before and after school programs. And in 2009, I started here at Highlands as the director of children's ministries. And then in 2019, moved into my new role as director of congregational engagement. So over the 22 years of working with children, the thing that I hold close to my heart and inspire to achieve as an adult is their ability to play, their ability to create, their ability to imagine, and their ability to dream. So think about it. When kids are playing together, creating a fort that also encompasses, you know, a spaceship that has a 24-hour pizza parlor and also mac and cheese, like, it's real. It is real to them. It excites them, and it motivates them. So I believe that this is one of a million lessons that we as adults need to learn and rekindle from kids. And it is in this spirit that I ask you to dream with me about Edgewater. So to provide some background on those who may be hearing of Edgewater for the first time and to refresh many of our memories, Edgewater United Methodist Church, located in Edgewater, Colorado, very close to Sloan's Lake and is only 1.8 miles away from where we are right now, closed its doors in 2018 because of low attendance. The Mountain Sky Conference of the United Methodist Church, our conference, has entrusted us with the Edgewater building. The care of Edgewater has cost Highlands United Methodist Church not even a penny. Under the leadership of our former pastor, we begin the very early stages of visioning and dreaming of all the things that could happen there. And then 2020 happened. Everyone, the entire world, went into survival mode. And because of that, we no longer had the capacity to dream. Now is the time. We have to muster up the courage, find the strength, and believe in one another so all our individual dreams, all our collective dreams, the ideas that breathe life into us can begin to be heard once again. There is so much potential at Edgewater. We will continue to strengthen our relationship with the successful preschool that utilizes the building. We will work closely with Joel and his team, Edgewater Collective, who works out of the building as well. And their mission, all kids succeed from cradle to career. A barbershop quartet uses the space, karate classes, guitar lessons. The Denver Toy Library is housed there, which is a super cool concept. And all these things are already happening there. The foundation is solid. I envision Edgewater to become a fully functioning community space, guided by a board of directors made up of Edgewater community, families, business owners. I want the sanctuary there to be a place without conditions, when people need a space to grieve, to celebrate. No matter one's background, I want them to think of Edgewater. Family reunions, bar mitzvahs, quinceañeras, Edgewater can handle it. It is this close to having an official commercial kitchen, which then opens up so many other opportunities as well. I dream of providing affordable office space, giving room for people to work and achieve their own dreams. I dream of housing concerts in the sanctuary, lessons and carols during the holidays, community craft fairs and art shows in their fellowship hall, community talent shows. I dream of a community connected with one another, which, funny enough, is church. The Edgewater building has been at the corner of 25th and Fenton for over 100 years. So I dream that the community space in Edgewater, like it had been for decades upon decades when it was a thriving congregation, can continue to build upon its history of connecting people into relationship with one another and the world, while evolving into something new, something we may not know yet, which again is church. So I don't know a lot, but I do know one thing. And I know this one thing so deeply, that when communities, when people, when we are connected, we are safer, we're healthier, and we're stronger. So I invite you to find that place, that imagined place that you had as a child, and dream with me, because a lot can happen.
Good morning. For those who do not know me, my name is Denise, and I use the pronouns she and her. My mom and my sister and her sister were married here at Highlands in a double wedding. My siblings and I were baptized and confirmed here at Highlands. A total of 6 generations of my family have called Highlands home. I serve on leadership, but I also serve as the financial secretary, overseeing the income, while Jim Orcutt serves as treasurer, overseeing the expenses. As we talk about dreams for Highlands, we also need to talk about the elephant in the room, the finances of Highlands. One dream was fulfilled when we hired Miss Alley as children's minister. It was a position leadership saw as a missing piece to our ministry team. But when it was announced that Pastor Brad was leaving, leadership made the difficult decision to put the search for a children's minister on hold until we secured a new pastor. It wouldn't have been fair to the children's minister, the pastor, and most of all, the children's of Highlands, to hire someone who was not a good fit with the minister. We are so blessed to have Miss Alley as our children's minister. Now that we have someone for the younger kids, the search for a youth minister is our next dream. All those kids we watched for so many years serving as acolytes, assisting with communion, and providing us with their Christmas programs and assisting in the Christmas Eve service have grown into tweens and youth from grade 6 through 12. And although members of the staff have arranged outings for the youth, including a trip to the Selfie Museum and Meow Wolf, it is apparent this connection isn't enough. We need someone just for them, whose focus is building a relationship with the tweens and youth to further develop their faith and work with them on their confirmation in the United Methodist faith. As a few members of leadership worked on setting the budget for 2023, we realized that the 2022 budget was based upon us living in a COVID world. Some expenses and line items did not reflect us returning to be in worship together and opening our doors to the church and the garage to groups in the community. Our trash removal, as mundane as it sounds, was budgeted for a biweekly pickup, while our reality is we need a weekly pickup. Our utilities, water, natural gas, and electricity did not reflect the demand. And our custodial salary did not reflect the demand either, especially in the fall when those leaves are tracked in. We have increased our expenses to reflect our new reality that we are back here at Highlands and our doors are open. Our biggest increase to the expense is our property insurance. Chris Davey, who now serves as chair of trustees, recognized that our properties, the garage and church in particular, were underinsured. Chris and I have been working with our carrier, Church Mutual, to increase the value of the church and garage. The parsonage is properly insured. But in so doing, we are increasing the cost of our premium. The premium in 2022 was $13,000, and our premium in 2023 will most likely be $20,000, an increase of 65% based upon the quote we received. Additionally, our deductible will increase from $50,000 to $80,000. Finance has recommended to leadership, in order to be good stewards of what we have been given, we need to pay down the deductible. Church Mutual allows a church to pay $1,000 for a decrease of $10,000 in the deductible. We would like to pay the deductible down $30,000 for an additional cost of $3,000. Or $23,000 for our insurance cost, nearly 100% higher than 2022. I'm sure some of you are thinking we should just switch carriers. But there is value in being with Church Mutual. Most every United Methodist church is insured with Church Mutual. It allows us to access additional insurance coverage if ours is not adequate. And we do have the ability to pay down the deductible. In light of our elevator crisis, your finance team believes paying down the deductible only makes sense. It is a cost we may not see benefit from in 2023, but who knows what Mother Nature has in store for us. This is a discussion the leadership team will continue to have once we have finalized the cost of property insurance. But let's talk numbers. Our actual expenses for the last 12 months have totaled $370,000. And our budget for 2023, including the increase in operating costs and insurance, but most importantly, recognizing the salaries for the children's and youth ministers, is coming in at nearly $425,000. While it seems like an exorbitant amount of money, I have a story to share with you. Back in the early 2000s, Highland had a special charge conference to bring Pastor Buddy from a halftime to a three-quarter time position in order to cover health insurance mandated by the conference. Our finance chair treasurer cried through the entire meeting that we just didn't have enough money to make it through the year. I couldn't believe what I was hearing in the meeting. Where was her faith? Where was her hope? I know she was living with the realities in front of her, but who hasn't stood at the edge and wondered, how do I make it through? Shortly after that meeting, Pastor Betty asked that I would consider taking over as chair of finance. It is a position I held through the rest of her appointment and into Pastor Brad's appointment. I will be honest with you, we had some very lean financial years, and I wondered if we could make it. But every December or January, when we reported back to the congregation, we had made it through. I told Pastor Brad, I like to think of Highlands as the engine that could. I think I can. I think I can. We made it through because people like you, people who believe in the ministry of Highlands, the ministry that not only shapes us, but our community and the world. I know that we can make our financial dream a reality, that we can find a youth minister to serve the needs of our tweens and youth, that our staff and leadership team continue to dream and make our mission into the world a reality. But we can only make those dreams come true with your financial commitment.